So thankful for your presence tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this peace that we feel. Touch every heart, God. Touch every mind in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Jesus.
And there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can come. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is done.
to me. We could all stand here. Once again, it is so great to have Sister Vicki Oliver as our guest speaker this weekend. And I just want her to know, I don't know that we have had a minister, as far as guest ministers behind this pulpit, that has had more people get the Holy Ghost in her ministry here than anyone else. And she has done a phenomenal job. We appreciate it. We love you. I call her, she's like my older sister. She calls me, I'm her snotty younger brother. And so I try to live that part as best I can. But anyway, we love you. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. It's okay to have fun, isn't it? Church is supposed to be fun. We don't have dead, dry, boring church around here. I'm so happy to be with you. The weekend has gone by way too quickly. Friday night, I got to spend some time with the youth around the bonfire. They let an old lady join them. We had a great time. And then the weekend, Saturday, was the ladies' conference. Sister Brown is not feeling well tonight, but I want to say, because I believe she's probably watching or will, how much I appreciated that opportunity to minister to the precious ladies of Calvary Gospel. And it was a refreshing, wonderful time. Jesus was here. And then this morning, Jesus filled four with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many were refilled. There was deliverance in this altar today. And tonight shall be no exception, because he's here. He is here. Been coming here since 1998. And I have often said, why are you asking me to minister again? I've said everything that I know to say. And it may just get repetitious. But I'm sure glad you do, because I love you. This is my favorite church. This is home. And what an honor it was today to get to pray with four of my grandbabies again and see them refilled with the Holy Ghost right up here on the altar. That's an added perk. And tonight, as I minister, I always say when I'm traveling, and this year it will be 48 churches when I get finished, I always say to the congregation and to the pastor there, I always say, my pastor knows that I'm here. I have his permission to be here. And tonight, I just want to say that I am under the covering of our pastor, our bishop, and I submit myself to you. I'm always going to be covered, because that's God's way. And when I step into the anointing of these great men, I'm not on my own. That's the way that works. Will you turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus, chapter 3. We're reading verses 1 through 7. I'm reading that many verses because it's going to take that many to really understand what's going on here. The heading of that chapter says, justified by God's grace. We would not be here but for the grace of God. You cannot earn this. You can't be good enough to be saved. It's by his grace. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, everybody say after that. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a powerful portion of Scripture that tells us how we should even behave. We have been offered so much grace. Why would we not be kind and meek and gentle to one another and to others? Tonight, for your hearing, are you ready for this? Lessons from the crab. Lessons from the crab. You may be seated. You know I can't minister without a bunch of junk. That's just the way it works. But hopefully an object lesson here or there helps us to remember. And to put it plainly enough that even the smallest child will understand, that means everyone else will as well. Lessons from the crab. I want to draw your attention to that word regeneration. The washing of regeneration. That is a big word that simply means to be born again. That's what it means. And we know in order to go to heaven, we must be born again. The Bible says we must be born of water and of spirit. And we don't enter back into our mother's womb, but we are born here in this altar by repentance, asking the Lord to forgive us for our sinful nature, by going to the tank and being baptized in Jesus' name and then being filled with his spirit. That's available for all of us tonight to be born again. And so tonight, this message that God gave me, lessons from the crab, is multi-level. There will be about three levels to this message, and hopefully one of them will help each one of us. There was a man that went to the south, and he was in Florida where there is seafood in abundance. And he walked into a restaurant because he had in mind what he would like to partake of. And he asked the hostess, "Do you serve crabs?" She said, "We serve anyone. Just sit wherever you like." My mama told me never tell jokes in the pulpit. Trying to get some of you to smile. You look really serious and you're making me nervous. This is not the funeral home. This is the church. We're glad to be here. If it's painful, it's not going to last too long. Just smile. You see, I want the children, these young people, to know that you can go home tonight and you can tell your parents that you want a new pet. Matter of fact, you'd like several. And you can say that Sister Oliver let you know that you can go to the pet store and you can get a tank. You can buy a tank and you can fill that tank full of crabs. You can put a rock in there for them to sun and a little light, and you can put food in there. And you can inform your parents that I said you can set that tank beside your bed where you can watch them. They're fun to watch. And you can let them know that I said you don't have to have a lid on that tank. And your mom is going to say, "Oh, no, that's not happening in this lifetime," because she sees the pinchers, you know, and these little crabs that are in that tank, and the pinchers are going, and she's going to say, "No, we're going to put some kind of top on that thing." But you can assure her that it's okay. Because what will happen when you put those in the tank, they will try to escape. They'll try to get out. And they will climb on that rock, and they'll climb on top of one another. And they eventually, one of them will get to the top. And you'll be laying on your bed watching the little pinchers going, and you'll be thinking, "What did Sister Oliver set me up for here?" Because the one will get all the way to the top, and he will be sitting on the edge. And he'll begin to teeter back and forth. And you'll think, "Oh no, what Sister Oliver said was not true." And all of a sudden, what will happen every single time is one of those other crabs will reach up and yank him back down. And say, "Oh no, you're not going any higher than I'm going." We read in scripture about being meek, about not being judgmental, about not pulling and tearing one another down. If we're going to have revival, then we have to take a lesson from the crab. And we have to understand that it is very important that we get along, that we have unity, that we work together. No division. When division tries to come in from the outside, the church body has to stand firm and say, you know what? We're not allowing that. We're not doing that because we're getting ready to have revival here. We're in the midst of revival and we're going to have unity and we're not going to tear one another down. And if somebody comes among us trying to tear somebody down, we say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing that. And then the second thing you do is get on your knees and you tear down the strongholds on your knees in the name of Jesus. Devil, we're not allowing this. We're not allowing division. We speak life into this place. We speak unity in the name of Jesus because we're going to see lots of folks filled with the Spirit and we got to operate and work together. I was on a fishing boat. I've told you some fishing stories this weekend. I was on a boat, and it was a small boat. And my brother-in-law was going out in the Gulf off of the coast of Key West. He was actually starting a home missions work in Key West, Florida. That church is there today. It was many, many years ago. And he knew how much I loved to be on the water, so he invited me to go out on the boat that morning. We went before the sun came up. He filled up with gas, and it was a smaller boat with a large motor. And you haven't lived till you've gotten out in the wide open. You know, you start out in the canal. It's dark, and you move real slow, and then all of a sudden, it opens up into that wide gulf, and all of a sudden, not one of your body parts is on the boat. Humph, humph. Oh, it's an awesome feeling. Some of you have done it. I heard you laugh. You've done that. We're out in the middle of the Gulf, and the sun's coming up, and something very exciting happened. He said, we're gonna have a little game here. What I want you to do is I want you to look over in the distance, somewhere out here. He said, do you see all of those styrofoam balls that are floating out there? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, some of those are mine. Those are called buoys. He said, the one that is painted yellow on one side and black on the other, those are mine. And he said, I want you to look for the number 342 that's floating out there. Oh, it was like a game. I'm a teenager. I'm into this. Okay, I think I see it. There it is. There it is right there. He turned the boat and motored over to where that buoy was floating. He took a hook, a gaff, and he hooked that buoy, and he brought it up on the boat, and there was a machine that he hooked that on, and the pulley began to go and wind that rope up, and I'm standing looking over the side of the boat with anticipation, and all of a sudden a crate, you could see between the slats, breaks the surface of the water, and inside of that crate were many. Crabs. All of their claws were going, every single one of them. A crab like this, the claw is strong enough to snap off the finger of a man. I ran to the bow of the boat and pulled my legs up under me because I watched him put on leather gloves that went above his elbows. I thought, where are my leather gloves? Where's my leather suit? I'm trapped. This box is sitting in the floor of this little boat. And he opens that lid and he reaches inside and he pulls out the crab and he snaps off the claw and throws it into a bucket of water. Snaps off the second one, throws it into a bucket of water. Some of the traps as the day progressed and we did the same drill over and over because he was crab trapping for a living. Some of them were filled with crabs. Some of them had none. Some had one. All day long, spot the buoy, pull it in, run to the bow of the boat, pull my feet up. watch him reach in the all day long, break off the claws, till finally I could not stand it one more moment. I said, what are you doing? Why are you breaking off the claws? He said, because I'm going to take those claws back to the dock when we get back, and they will pay me so much per pound. This is the way I'm making a living. They'll buy those claws because they serve the meat out of those claws. Wow. That is the coolest thing. But why are you littering the ocean? You should bring a trash bag and put those bodies in a trash bag and dispose of them properly. I grew up in the 70s. You know, pollution was a big thing. Why are you doing that? And he laughed. He said, you don't understand. You don't know how this works, do you? He said, see, what happens is I'll break off those claws and I'll throw them in that salt water and I'll take them back and sell them. And I pitch that body back in the ocean. Because what happens is there's a process called regeneration. And what will happen in a very short time, all of a sudden where those claws have broken off, they will begin to grow a new claw. They're made to regenerate. And in a couple of years, I will pull that dude back in again. And what happens is the next claw is bigger and stronger always than the one before. So it's very important that you throw that body back, because through its whole adult life, it will continue to regenerate. Remember, that means to be born again. If we're going to make it to heaven, you and I have to continue to regenerate, to be refilled. You get knocked down, you get back up. You pray through. You talk in tongues again. You get in the altar and do it all over again. You must be born again, or you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. I learned a great lesson that day about regeneration. That was the coolest thing ever. But can I turn the corner with you for a moment and remind you that also the things in your life that are not good, the sinful nature, the things that we don't want to give up, the things that we lust after, the bad habits that we have, the addictions that we have. When you come to the altar, you got to bring that stuff to the altar. Because what happens is, in order to be born again, something has to die. And the only way to get rid of that stuff is to kill the crab. It will continue to grow new claws until you bring it to the altar and confess it. And sometimes it takes time. It takes more than once. It takes fasting and prayer. It takes over and over coming to this altar and laying it down and saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to give it to God. Because if you don't kill it, it'll grow back. You know, the Bible says that when we come and we confess our sins and he cleans out our heart and we walk out of these doors clean and we step back into the same sins, that the spirits come in seven times greater. The claw grows bigger. You think you had a hard time getting rid of that in the beginning? Just wait till you keep going out and doing it over and over and over. Because what happens is you're setting yourself up for failure. You got to get in the altar and make up your mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be born again. That's what that looks like is starting all over. Got to kill the crab, or it will grow new claws. They will be stronger, bigger. I was on the fishing boat. I told you the story this morning that I had already fallen overboard once. Got a lot of trouble for that one. And I was very wiggly and always needed something to do. And I'm on the boat again, and there's 21 people on that boat, and they're not letting the kids fish. So the adults are all fishing, and I knew I wasn't allowed to put my hands over the side. You see, when you get in the boat, the new lifeboat, when you're serving God, when you're in the church, the water doesn't belong in the boat. Whatever's in the world does not belong in the church. There is a separation that comes. I was on the boat and I saw something in the distance. It was a beautiful aqua blue. It was like a bubble floating in the distance on top of the water. I saw that blue bubble and I thought to myself, I want that. I want to get that. I knew I wasn't supposed to have my hand outside the boat. And so I looked around to see if anybody was watching. You know, when you start locking doors and you start looking around to see who's watching, you're about to get in trouble. There's somebody that's always watching. Jesus always sees. Yeah, I was looking around. There's a top deck on that boat. My parents were on the boat, family, church family. Nobody was watching. And I wanted that. I didn't know what it was. I just wanted it. It was beautiful. And every wave was bringing it closer and closer to the boat. Because whatever tempts you, the devil will make sure it comes close to the boat. There it was, coming in closer and closer. I looked at that blue bubble and I thought, I think that's a toy from a Happy Meal I don't have. I'm going to take that for show and tell. Never mind, I was told to sit down. I was told to keep my hands in the boat. Some of us learn everything the hard way. But I knew I didn't want to fall in. So I knelt down. I knelt down right by the edge of the boat. And I practiced putting my hand over the side to see how far I could reach. Because I didn't want to fall in. There are a lot of people that are on their knees with their hand outside the boat. Well, I still talk in tongues. I mean, as long as I talk in tongues, I'm ready, right? As long as I can touch God and I talk in tongues. Listen, that's very foolish thinking, because the Holy Ghost is given to you without repentance. In other words, he won't take it away from you. He won't be sorry he gave it to you, and he'll let you have it. And you can talk in tongues and still have your hand outside and be sinning. So that's not your gauge for, am I spiritual? Am I okay? People are on their knees. People run the aisles and shout and then go out and sin. I was on my knees. I was trying to see how far I could reach. And it was coming closer. Every wave was bringing it closer. I wanted it. It was beautiful. I just wanted it. And my hand was about 2 inches from it. I had a little cup made out of my hand. And I'm ready. I mean, I'm shaking with excitement. There it was. It's mine. It's mine. And somebody on the top deck of that boat looked down and saw a little girl with her hand outside the boat. And you know what? He did not come down those steps sweetly and say, well, would it be all right if I talk to your child about this? Well, I have to be politically correct, and I don't want to embarrass her or bully her or make her feel bad about herself. Ouch. That's worldly talking. That's worldly thinking. It's crept into the church. We need to help each other raise each other's kids. We're a family around here. Quit being so sensitive. Somebody sets your kid down and says, quit running. You say, thank you. Thank you for helping me. So glad the church helped me raise my kids. I never once went and questioned the Sunday school teacher about anything. Or the pastor. That's a rabbit track, isn't it? There it was. And he didn't do that. He didn't come down and check it out with my parents. He didn't come down slowly and you know, see if it was okay to approach me. No. What he did was he said, don't touch that. Aren't you glad I pulled the microphone away? He came down those steps two at a time. He grabbed my shoulders. When he screamed at me, I jerked my hand back. And the very next wave took it away. The Bible says there'll always be a way of escape. You're not going to be tempted with anything that you can't say, no, I'm not doing it. And the very next wave will take it away. Hallelujah. He didn't say it wouldn't come by the boat. He didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. You're going to be tempted. But you got to make up your mind. I'm keeping my hand in the boat. I'm not going there. I'm not doing it anymore. He shook my shoulders. Whole boatload of people looking at me. What were you thinking? And I wasn't contrite yet. I said, why'd you yell at me? I wanted that. I want to take that home with me. Now it's gone. Because when we're in the middle of our sin, we don't want the crab to die. We don't want to bring it to the altar. We're enjoying what we're doing. Because that beautiful blue bubble is real fun. Sin is a lot of fun. Till you end up in trouble because of sin. Till you wake up and don't know where you were or what you did. All the repercussions of sin are not fun. It's only fun for a short while, for a season. But boy, is it fun at the moment. I wanted it. He said, you didn't even know what that was. You didn't know what it would do. He said, so let me tell you, little girl. That was a Portuguese man of war. It's a type of jellyfish. And the type of jellyfish that lives out here, 3 hours out from land, very, very deep waters. Oh, yes, the bubble on top is beautiful. But the tentacles that hang down under the water are sometimes over 100 feet long. That's how sin is. It's pretty on top. But when it gets ready to destroy you, it's not pretty. He said, let me tell you what would have happened. You see, you would have put your little hand on top of that beautiful blue bubble and you would have lifted it out of the water and it would have flipped its tentacles around your hand. And it would have paralyzed your hand because that's how it eats. It paralyzes its prey. It injects venom. He said, we would have laid you on the floor of this boat. We would have took that thing off of you and thrown it back in the ocean. We would have turned this boat towards the hospital, the nearest hospital, 3 hours away. But he said, I'm here to tell you what would have happened. Not only would your hand be paralyzed, but that paralysis would start to continue up through the bloodstream. And it would have gone directly to your heart. He said, little girl, you would have died moments away from death because of a bad choice. That's what sin does. The Bible says when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. Death of relationships, death of a marriage, death of reputation, death of life as you once knew it, death of all kinds of things. Your freedom can die. And then finally, physical death, because the devil wants to destroy you and take your soul to hell. Everyone was looking at me. Suddenly, I realized what I had done. And that he had saved my life. But you see, putting your hand over the side of the boat, constantly doing things you know you should not be doing, reaching out of the church, doing what you want during the week and then praying through on the weekends, it won't work. It won't work. You got to make up your mind. I'm in the boat. I'm staying in the boat. I'm keeping my hands in the boat. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to sell out for God. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to accept the regeneration. I'm going to have this born again experience in every way in my life. He wants to give you a new life, a good life. And it's your choice just to be born again. to come to the keyboard and give them some hope. They're clapping. They want me to be done. It's a cheering section over there. Aren't you glad we can just be real and be ourselves? I don't know how to be anything else. You see, the old daddy crab is having a great day. He's lying on the beach with his family. They run in what they call colonies. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day. The sand is warm. There he is with all the little crabs around him and the colony, and they help each other. There's no humans there that day. Life couldn't be any better. There are times in life where you think, I finally arrived. Can't get any better. I'm serving the Lord. I'm walking with Him. And I've got family around me, people that love me. I got everything I need, financially, physically. Just doesn't get any better than this. But you see, there is an enemy. And the big old seagull is flying over the ocean, and he's dipping down looking for food. He's watching for a school of fish. That's what they do. And then they dive into the water, and you'll see them sometimes take a fish right out of the water. I've seen it many times. But today, they can't find any fish. And that big old seagull looks down, and he sees the daddy crab on the beach. Sunshine and the sand is warm. And he swoops down unexpectedly, one sweep, and in his talons, he grabs that crab and lifts him up into the sky. Because he's going to take him up on a rock. And he's going to beat him to death. He's going to crush the body. He's going to consume all of the meat in there. Because he's found dinner. You imagine all of a sudden, he finds himself flying through the air. It's happened to me. No, one phone call. One piece of information. One doctor visit. And you find yourself in the hands of an enemy that hates you. You find out sometimes it's just life. And all of a sudden he's away from everything that's comfortable and good and lovely, and he's caught away in something horrible, some nightmare. Most of us sometime in our life suffer a broken heart, a nightmare. You don't know how it's going to end, how we're going to get out of this. You're not even sure you want to live through it. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going to happen. There he is, caught away. And all of the people that love you, they're looking around saying, what happened? What happened here? And then he remembers something. A God-given instinct in that crab says, don't you remember? You're made to regenerate. And in studying this sea animal, I found that once he realizes, I'm going to be okay because my Creator made me to regenerate. He's flying through the air. Everything looks pretty bad. And all of a sudden he realizes, one shake of my claw releases it. And the gall is flying away with one claw. And the rest of that body of that crab falls softly into the sand. God will always give you a soft place to land. Studies have shown that what happens immediately is the other colony, the crabs, come around the one who is wounded, that has lost a claw. And the videos will show you, they begin to open little mollusks and they begin to feed him. That's what we do for one another. That's what Calvary Gospel did 3 years ago for Vicki Oliver. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me a soft place to land. Thank you, church, for not judging me and feeding me when I was broken. That's just what we do. And the claw instantly begins to grow. And he realizes, if they'll just help me eat for a little while, if they'll just help me for a little while to heal, I'm going to grow a new claw. And you know what happens, don't you? It's bigger and is stronger than the one that was there before. The devil doesn't count on that, my friend. You might have a piece of me, but when I get done, I was made to regenerate. Friend of mine, he's not done with you. Jesus has better days ahead. The end of your story is going to be great. Because you were made to regenerate. Just stand to your feet. The Holy Ghost is moving. You must be born again of water and of spirit. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, tonight's your night. Don't leave without it. If you want the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's here. You want a refilling? You can be reborn over and over and over. Some of you need to get in the altar and kill that crab so it stops growing new claws. And some of us need to recognize, I was made to regenerate. And I am growing a new claw, and it's strong in God. Whatever level of this message has touched your heart, could we as a church begin to move in right now? Altar workers, will you come and join me first in this altar? Get ready to pray with people. If there's someone around you that needs the Holy Ghost, take their hand. Bring them to the altar with you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind confusion and distraction, and I lose peace. I bind doubt and unbelief, and I lose truth. I bind the spirit of fear, I lose faith. Young people, lift your hands. The Lord is getting ready to touch you right now. In the name of Jesus.
here in this place tonight. God has done a great work. Oh, what a great God. What a great God. What a great God. What a great God, what a great God.
You provide the Spirit, and I will open up inside.
Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this precious people. With your Spirit, God.